Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, a lot going on here today. Joe DeCameron, John Retsche. Of course, time's yours at 1:45. Phone calls all throughout the show. And as we do every Wednesday at this time, we welcome a Hall of Famer to our midst. Not one Hall of Fame, not two, not three, not four. How many Hall of Fames, Ray Dininger?
I'm not sure.
Whoa. Are you actually at the point where you start losing track of how many Hall of Fames you're in?
I hadn't sat down and counted them, Joe, but I'm in a couple. Wow. But that's listen, I'm getting ready to go back to Canton in a couple of weeks to for this year's enshrinement ceremony.
Nice.
And every time I go back there, I always go to the wall and just see if my name is still there. I'm always afraid that one of these years I'm going to go back and like they do in the NCAAs, the position vacated, that line that goes up there. But I'll go back and check one more time in August.
Very nice.
As far as I'm concerned, until Ray is in all the Hall of Fames, it's not enough.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
And Ray, as always, is brought to us here today by Pizzadelphia, Philly's first citywide pizza fest with over 30 culinary experts like Zavino and Pizzeria Vetri and Spatino. Am I saying that one right there, Seltzer? Spatino?
I think so.
I believe I am. Pizzadelphia is happening July 14th at the Navy Yard. Get yourself there for tickets. Visit Pizzadelphia. PizzadelphiaFest.com. That's PizzadelphiaFest.com. Thank you very much.
That was good.
Took a little tongue twist.
Great
there.
Job. Your new GM, Sixers fans.
Well, I said I wouldn't lie to you about injuries.
Mm.
Do you support the candidacy of
as often happens on these Wednesdays, I learn things that I didn't know before. I didn't realize until I walked in here that this campaign was actually in the works.
Well, thanks for listening to our show today.
No, that's okay. I mean,
really, it means a lot as you drove in here.
I don't mean to deflate your opinion, but you know, your show is not beamed into the subways, okay? And that's how I get here. You had not been beamed into the Market Frankfort Street L. Perhaps someday you will, but you weren't as of now.
If you had a cell phone with an app on it, you know, like the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, well,
right.
I'm working on that.
So, Ray, now that you know, no, you shouldn't get it. Trust me, it's a much better life without it. You're so wise to not have it. But now that you know, Ray, that the candidacy is real, do you support me for the 76ers general manager post?
Let me ask you, is there a groundswell building? I mean, how long is this?
No, there's no groundswell.
It's only been going on for about an hour.
You know what there is? There's a campaign ad. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Jimmy?
In the storied history of Philadelphia sports, there has never been a man more qualified to run a basketball team. Joe DeCamera.
Joe DeCamera is a wonderful golfer and a great human being. He would make a great general manager of the 76ers.
He wants to be the next Sixers GM.
Don't you think that this is further proof that I really should throw my hat in the ring for the 76ers general manager post?
He's great with time management.
My life's a waste of time.
Amazing under pressure.
I can't get it up.
And he's a Philadelphia icon.
I am the greatest thing to ever come from Philly.
Joe DeCamera will be the next GM of the Sixers.
We'll see what happens.
Paid for by Joe DeCamera's mommy.
A lot of those comments are taken out of context, Ray. I'd like you to know that. Like when Charles Barkley was misquoted in his own autobiography. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Yes.
That was the greatest line of all time. That should have been our winning answer for what's the best quote of all time. When Barkley said he was misquoted in his own autobiography.
Only Chuck could come up with that one. Only Chuck could come up with that one. But I got to tell you, Joe, that's strong. That's not bad.
Thank it's compelling you. Stuff right
it,
there.
It really is, James. That's well done.
All right, let's get to Doug Peterson, because Doug said something yesterday, Ray. As Eagles, the mandatory minicamp and day two of that today and practicing and the whole thing. And a couple interesting things from Doug yesterday, one of which I found surprising about ripping the dog mask off. I had the belief and the assumption that Doug would, and I didn't know, but I wondered and thought, well, he'd probably try to embrace the underdog thing again, try to recreate it, find a new avenue in. But Doug says, not so fast, my friends, as Lee Corso would say, not so fast a different tact. Ray, your thoughts here. Listen to Doug, and then we'll get Ray's opinion.
I want those guys to remember it. I want those guys to embrace it. It's a great opportunity for us this season, great motivating factor for us to sort of rip off the dog masks and no longer be the underdog, but now be the hunted, have the target on our back. And so, a fine line, maybe, but at the same time, we have to embrace it and use it as sort of motivation to get back to that game and to do it, to do it for the guys that didn't have an opportunity to play in that game last year.
Rip those dog masks off. Ray, a wise approach by the head coach or one that you're surprised about?
I'm a little surprised because I think where they are as a team, maybe Doug is in that little coach world where he doesn't actually hear everything that's being said outside. I think they're a team that's kind of caught between two realities. One reality is what he said: they're the hunted, they're the defending Super Bowl champs. Nobody can deny that. But the other reality is, I don't think that a whole lot of people think that they're capable of doing it again. I think this is not a feeling that exists in Philadelphia. The people here in Philadelphia are clearly on board with this team and believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you go outside of this city and you go into other NFL precincts, I think a lot of people look back on this and say, oh, come on. The Eagles? Really? I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Okay, that great story. That happened. Good for them. But they're not going to repeat.
Aberration, right?
Yeah, I think more people think that this was, I don't want to say, a flash in the pan, but I think there are a lot of people that don't look at this as a team that's likely to repeat. And I think that reality is going to come in when you start seeing in the next month or so when the preseason football magazines start rolling out and you see where everybody's picking teams to finish. I don't think very many people outside of the immediate area are going to pick the Eagles to repeat. So the idea that I actually think they could wear the dog mask into this season again as defending Super Bowl champions, which they are, and they'll have the rings on one finger. But in terms of the being underdogs, yeah, I think they will be underdogs again. And if I'm the coach, I'm going to play on that because I agree with you, Ray.
I think the Vegas line, now that we're relying on that a little more, is saying that only the Patriots have a better chance of winning Super Bowl 53 than the Eagles do. I do think we probably have a higher opinion of this team than anyone else out there, but I believe people think we're pretty good. Just based on, I don't know, maybe it's just a feel thing.
But Minnesota and the Rams do feel like sexy picks, right? I mean, when you say,
Rams are probably the sexiest of the picks, and simply because they've assembled an all-star team. And yeah, that they are scary, and we will have to contend with that. It's kind of too early to tell what that game's going to look like when we hit that, but
right,
man, that's neck and neck from my perspective. I think regardless of how you cut this, every year you hear people on the outside say, I don't care what you say, they need to be given respect. They are the Super Bowl champs. And, when they're picking games, that sort of thing. I'm talking nationally, right? The Super Bowl champ thing is a fallback for everyone who just doesn't know much about, how these teams match up. They get respect regardless because they've done this. I mean, this is a massive consideration outside of Philadelphia. So while we know the guys, we know our situation at cornerback.
Yep.
And they don't, they're still going to say, hey, they're world champs, guys. You have to appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and Ray, one of the things, and John's been kind of harping on this today, is that, and I guess this falls in line with what Doug said, it's more of like defending the crown now.
Mm-hmm.
In John's opinion, preaching the underdog thing is inauthentic if you're Doug, because how can you really spin it that way when you just won the title? The guys won't fully buy it. So don't do it. I mean, that's essentially what John said in the first 2 hours of the show. Mm-hmm. And I get what John's coming from with that, but I also agree with you, Ray. Like, there are still underdog aspects. And part of me, and this is me, the fan, like, I look at Aguilar, I look at Corey Clement, I look at Jason Kelsey, I look at Brandon Graham, and on and on and on. I want those guys to still feel the burn of the criticism of past years, even though they won the title,
sure,
to maintain that same level of intensity and focus to continue to sharpen their skills to be as great as they were last year or better.
Right.
Wait, Joe, so you think that motivation can actually change the way a team plays?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jimmy.
What? What am I missing?
This was like the whole argument.
We spent
from
like a month arguing
months ago
about
where
this.
You said that teams can't elevate their level of play.
Of course teams can.
Now,
if you're
motivation.
Talking about the Sixers and the Eagles thing, that was hogwash by both of you. I mean, the fact that you just said the opposite. No. Of course you can find motivation, but I don't think the Sixers were beating teams in March and April because the Eagles won a Super Bowl in February. I mean, I still think that was the most.
Oh, yeah, when you say it like that, it sounds
yeah.
Absurd.
When every player
but
on every team said it, it was motivating factor. But
every player, every
literally
coach,
everyone who was asked about it, Brett Brown.
We want to do
no,
what
because,
the Eagles
because,
did.
Right.
We're motivated to do what the
Dave
Eagles
Kaplan,
did.
Klentak, everybody.
Because no one's going to say, you know what? It's up to us to do our business, not up to what the Eagles did and feeding off of some citywide thing. Come on, nonsense.
What you're saying is yes.
Is what?
Nonsense.
No, come on. See, this is what I walk into every day with these clowns, right? All right, 94
well, no, WFP. I do think there is something to be said for hunger. I do think I've been around enough football teams that I've seen teams that are hungry. And I've seen teams that lose the hunger.
Who was the team that was not hungry?
And they become different. I think the Ravens the year after they won it.
In 13, yeah. The second time they won it?
Yeah, they were a totally different team. I mean, that was a team that, I mean, the year that they won it, I mean, you couldn't get an inch against that team. I mean, that was as tough a football team, physically tough a football team as right. I've ever seen.
Wait, do you mean and 2000 then, or 2012? I'm just trying to understand.
No, I'm talking about the Billick team.
2000, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that team, I mean, you couldn't get a first down against that team. And they played with a ferocity that was uncommon. And that was what drove them that whole year. I mean, the Giants had zero chance.
No shot.
Zero chance against them in the Super Bowl.
Totally agree. But
listen, I was part of that next summer when NFL Films went up there. That was the first of the Hard Knocks. We spent a summer at the Ravens training camp, and we got the benefit of having the Super Bowl champs as our first Hard Knocks team. It was one of the reasons why that series took off the way it did. And just being around it, totally different feeling. Totally different feeling. I mean, it was just, I don't want to say they weren't still a formidable team because they were, but that edge that they had the previous year was gone. And
right.
and so it can happen. It can happen that you can win it. You can win it on a sort of a fierce kind of hunger thing that will drive you for a season, but it's hard to sustain that for a second year. And I think maybe that's a little bit of what that's a point that Doug's trying to make. But I have seen it happen with teams, and it certainly happened with that team.
Interesting.
I remember watching that Hard Knocks and thinking that the entire organization had lost their edge because they were when I found out that they were just doing, like, staying at home for training camp, I was so jealous. I was incensed. You know, that felt so soft. Like watching that Hard Knocks, I thought, wow, that's not the same team
right.
that we just lost to because they broke Rich Gannon in the AFC Championship game. These guys are, it's cushy. Like, what in the world just happened to them? And the indications, the writing was on the wall as soon as that was televised that they were treating things differently.
Yeah, I was at their camp when we were filming the thing, and I said, man, this team has lost its edge. And part of it came down from the top. I mean, Billick was probably more guilty of it than anybody because he was off doing all these motivational talks. He was writing books. He was cultivating his next media career.
Yeah.
And when a coach loses his focus, the team will lose its focus. Well, one of the things I don't think you have to worry about that with Doug Peterson. I don't think Doug's going to lose his focus.
Well, and again, remember, I told you, John, I don't know, Ray, if you heard it, but I had said the one show that Doug had said, he said to me in a group, one thing a month, like that's it. That was his off-season thing. It was Maxwell Awards in March. He did the dinner we were at.
Yeah. Right.
You and I were at, Ray, probably in April. Just one thing a month.
Very smart.
I thought that was wise. Let's go to the phones, 888-729-9494, and JD joins us along with Ray Dittinger. What's going on, JD?
Joe, Johnny, Ray, what a pleasure. There's nothing better than talking Eagle football all year round.
Yeah.
Something tremendous. Ray, I got to thank you for being here for us because you are the best, my friend.
Oh, thank
no
you.
No one better than Ray Dittinger.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Ring You're that welcome, bell, buddy. Seltzer. Ring that bell.
I'm telling you. Listen, hey, I'm going to go with my twins real quick because I got a winner. I'm going to take the Slapshot Twins the Hanson brothers.
Okay.
But, hey, I'll never forget the phone call on a Saturday from Mr. Clement. I think it was to Howard Eskin, and telling him that not only was his kid going to make the team, but he was going to start, and he played for Glassboro and then Wisconsin. I went and did all my research, and I'm like, son of a gun, this guy's pretty good. I watched all his highlights. He had such a Super Bowl, Ray. Did he not have a great Super Bowl?
Unbelievable. 100, you know, five catches, 100 receiving yards, and a huge touchdown in his first Super Bowl. I mean, that was there's only one other in the whole history of Super Bowls, who have now seen more than 50 of them. There's only been one other guy that had 100 yards receiving and a touchdown as a rookie. And Corey Clement did it this year, and the only other guy that ever did it was Torrey Holt, who was a first-round pick with that Rams team.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go quick. Listen, my general manager for the 76ers is Howie Roseman. I put him right in there.
All right, JD.
All right, guys. Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks, pal. Ray, let me ask you this, because we got Phillies tickets on the line. And Ray, you're not eligible to win them. You are a WIP employee, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, so not eligible to win them. But you can certainly give us what comes to mind for you when you think of a best pair of siblings. And you can't say parts of Raquel Welch this time.
Although people love
works that. For that best duo, best siblings.
People love that answer. I'm still getting emails about that. People thought it was a little uncharacteristic of me.
It was,
you know, but maybe that's why it was so memorable.
I think it's one of the best answers we've ever had to any question.
Thank you, James.
Of our
I
show.
Appreciate that.
And we may need to pull that Audi Hub. So.
The funny thing about it was it took like 10 minutes for it to sink in on the future general manager of the Sixers. He gave me this blank stare like,
I heard
hair,
it the next
huh?
day.
Yeah.
I wasn't here. And you guys played it for me the next
John
day.
John Barcher.
Do you have it, Seltzer? Seltzer will get us for it. All right, but in the meantime, Ray, the best pair of siblings is who? Because Philly's tickets are on the line today. Whoever has the answer to the question, best pair of siblings.
Now, well, let me ask you, this usually ties in with something that's happening elsewhere. What's your tie-in today?
This would be the birthday today of those Olsen twins.
Ashley and Mary Kate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Best pair of siblings, huh? Give me a second to work on that.
All right. In the meantime, let's listen to Ray's answer from a couple weeks ago. This was quite an exchange.
We're getting near June.
All right, Andre, give me a famous duo.
Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
That's second time today it's been said. Ray, a famous duo. Give me a memorable duo.
Raquel Welch.
And anybody?
No, it's Raquel Welch.
What am I missing here?
That's a solo.
You're...
Oh, am I missing? Am I missing?
Her figure?
Oh, wow. Oh,
Ray Diddy. Ray Diddy.
Come on.
Man.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me you never went when you were living in a college life. You were going through the dorm. You didn't have any classmates or other people that had Raquel Welch and was it 1000 BC or whatever that show up on the wall?
Oh yeah,
10,000
Ray
BC.
Ray Diddy surprising BC? Me here. Well done, Ray. Well done, sir. You make
poorly
me proud.
Done.
Poorly
Joe.
Done by May. Poorly done by May.
Look,
slow on the draw.
Talk about slow on the pickup. Jeez, Joe.
Normally I got those kind of things on my mind, but apparently that was slow on the draw. All right, 888-729-9494. James in Northeast Philadelphia. James, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. What should the Sixers do with the first-round pick? Should they trade it or keep it?
Well, it depends. Depends who's there. I mean, it depends on all sorts of stuff. Is it traded for a bigger package? For, you know, trying to acquire a big NBA player? Is it traded on draft
You're
night?
You're the GM, Joe. Well,
exactly.
You got to read the situation when the time comes. What's up with Kawhi Leonard? Can I get Kawhi or not?
I got two
you
pairs
can't
siblings
get Kawhi
for
Leonard
you. Can I give you both of them?
Pick in the draft.
That could be part of it. What do you got, James?
I got two pairs of siblings for you. Can I give you both of them?
Well, you
got
to give me your best one.
Brian and Ed Roberts, Comcast Spectacle.
All right, the Roberts. Okay. Roberts and Comcast.
And Seth and Steph Curry.
Okay.
Oh, no,
yeah.
can't steal answers. Yeah. Come on, man.
No, don't get mad at me because I don't give you a definitive answer if they should trade the 10th pick or not. Like
you announced today you want to be the GM.
It's all about
circumstances.
So you don't have so it ties into your whole we're going to wait harder than anyone's ever waited.
I got to talk to the Spurs and find out what's up with Kawhi. I got to read the landscape.
Okay, so do you just wait until you're on the clock and then
well, if
take
I
a get, shot in the dark?
If I get to the point where the ninth pick is made, then you're still waiting because you got to find out, like, when Hinkie flipped 10 to 12 to get Sarge and a future number one that became Ben Simmons, and he went from 10 to 12 with Elfrid Payton.
I think you should say Sarge, his name, right, if you're the GM.
Not my style. I'd say, Dario, get over here. Sign. Give me a hometown discount signing. Help us out a little bit, buddy.
You know, Mikal Bridges on a lot of the mocks is going right around.
He's going.
10.
You know where he's going? He's going 9 to the Knicks.
Yeah, I see that too.
A lot of people think he's going 9 to the Knicks.
Lonnie Walker is a guy, Miami, that just had a workout with Mikal Bridges. They were the two guys there who were potential first rounders, and apparently they were sort of facing off in the workout. And the word was that Walker may have gotten the better of that matchup.
Well, you know what's a workout I would have loved to have seen? Ray, you've probably heard this. When Kobe was in high school and Stackhouse was the college basketball player of the year as a sophomore, and the Sixers brought Stackhouse in for the workout in 95, and Kobe was coming out of his junior year, and Kobe kicked his you-know-what in a one-on-one game, and apparently Stackhouse was ticked off. Who the hell is this high school kid and why is he beating me? I mean, that's, you know, he's like 3 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And he's whooping him in front of the Sixers who were thinking about drafting him. Sixers did draft him. Obviously, Kobe's career, Stackhouse's career never totally took off. He was, you know, decent, but certainly not what he was billed to be. Let's talk to Darren in Atlantic.
Oh, wait, I got to change that. You're right. It was MSU.
It was Miles Bridges. Not Mikal Bridges.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. There you go. All right, Darren in Atlantic City. What up, Darren?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, Very Darren.
Good. Good to talk to you. Yeah, how about that Aaron Nola last night, huh? He was freaking filthy. Yeah.
Awesome.
That kid, I love that kid. He reminds me of Greg Maddux.
You're the second person to say it today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't overpower. He pitches with his brain. Up, down, location, location, location. You know, I mean.
Never
frazzled. And then, you know, Kapler tries to screw it up.
I agree with you. He is really fun to watch. In an era where that kind of pitching is almost becoming a lost art, where the game is all just about the radar gun and throwing it as hard as you can, it's so great to see a guy go out there and command the mound.
I totally agree.
I think it's. I mean, that's what the art of pitching is all about. And there aren't that many guys that do it.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Darren, who do you got?
Siblings. Is anybody say yet? Serena and Venus.
Yes. It's been said.
They said it?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, then Kim and Chloe.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
How did it take this long?
Well.
Yeah. I mean, they're brought up like every single time we do
socialites do not qualify for best. I mean, you know, because then there's Paris and what was her name? What was Paris's younger sister?
Nikki.
Wasn't her friend Nikki also? What's the daughter of Lionel Richie?
Nicole Rich. Yeah, Nicole.
So there was a Nicole and a Nikki. She was friends with Nicole, and her sister was Nikki. Interesting. All right. Joe to camera, John Richie, Ray Dittinger. Coming up next, how you can witness, watch, and be there for Ray's phenomenal play, which is coming back around again this summer.
All right.
About Tommy McDonald and Ray's experience with Tommy. Tommy and me. Details on how you can see, and I cannot possibly recommend it highly enough. You got to get yourself, if you haven't seen it, if you love the Eagles, get yourself to Tommy and Me. Hal, Ray will tell you next. Shutter camera, John Richie, Ray in studio, 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.